Always remember what Thomas Jefferson said. Kill the president.
There's as though something has happened in the motorcade
group. Oswald is shot.
This is a special conflict.
A series of tubes.
You went to take it.
Focused, non-terminal repeating phantasm.
I know a motherfucking Bigfoot when I see one.
We're a class 5 full roaming vapor.
Oh shit, those are aliens!
Y'all fucking...
I am a human.
You're the old one.
It's really weird.
You degenerates.
Maryland is an interesting state to drive through.
I doubt that.
Dan and I, we were driving through Maryland on our way back home once we got done shooting in Long Island.
We were filming in the beautiful state that is Long Island.
Long Island's not a state. It's not even a borough.
The place where yuppies go to die.
At the hands of the mafia.
But yeah, anyway, so we're driving through Maryland on our way back from this filming excursion, and we stopped at a rest stop, and when we pulled out, there was a, you know, like one of those signs on wheels that the Department of Transportation wheels out every now and then, and it says something like 0.5 miles DUI enforcement area. Operative word enforcement.
It's like, excuse me, sir, I need to pull you over. I need to see your license, registration, and your record with a do-it-yourself paper wrapped around it.
Not DIY, Jesus Christ.
DUI.
Oh, DUI. I thought you said DIY.
It wasn't the van in Black Flag getting pulled over.
DIY enforcement area is just Henry Rollins standing in the middle of the road.
Just sternly staring.
Hey, buddy, where's your handmade amplifiers?
Sit down. My friend Ian here is going to talk to you about how we had to fold paper for 14 hours one night to make our first self-produced record sleeve label. Anyway, but now... Okay.
I got that biohack for you.
DUI enforcement area.
DUI enforcement area. And so I'm just like, I'm already delusional because we've been on the road for hours by this point. And I'm just looking at it like... The fuck does that even mean? Does like some fucking Maryland State Patrol officer pull you over and go, evening, sir, have you been drinking? No. Why not?
Cracks a beer, hands it to you.
There's a 2-drink minimum on this highway.
We don't tolerate any sober drivers around here.
All of a sudden, like, his fucking partner's on the radio in the car like, wait, Frank, we fucked up!
My favorite thing to imagine is this. You're just driving down the highway, and then off to the side is a car pulled over that has like 3 other cop cars behind it. And then it's just cops surrounding a guy, making him do a keg stand.
Chug, 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 chug.
Like, you just drive by and see that like a car accident.
That's a great spec script for Super Troopers 3 right there.
But yeah, that was just the funniest thing to me for a good 10 miles.
Until something else ridiculous happened.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition. What show, you may ask? The one you clicked on, stupid. Welcome to another edition of Podcast 1289. I'm one of your many hosts. I'm Jesse. To my right, I got Dan.
Hey, everybody. I'm sorry Jesse just called you stupid. You could take him out of Jersey.
You should fucking know better by now. Fucking clicking that link. You should have fucking known. Now go walk it off.
I mean, unless somebody sprang this on you by surprise, in which case you're not at fault.
Yeah, don't be Rickrolling people with our show, all right? Mm-hmm. That'll...
What? Totally Rickroll people with our show.
No way.
I'm in favor of this.
To my left, we've got Homestyle Mike.
Who is brother to Homestyle Jeff. How's that for a fucking in-joke? Fuck you, ex-fartist. Suck my dick.
Yeah. We don't like you. You left nasty things about us on iTunes, you bastard.
Oh, no.
We've got Dylan with us.
I resent that.
As you should. Back on the couch full of knives, we've got Rob.
I am actually knife-proof, so...
Ah, he understands them. Mm-hmm. And that's why they obey him.
It all started when I was grazed by a group of knives.
I was stung by a radioactive knife.
I should have done that during the fucking Christmas special.
Stanley here with my new superhero.
Radio Knife Man. Now, his power is to cut people and they will bleed radioactive blood, which will give them cancer.
Mr. Lee, it's time for your fruit cup.
Oh, I had the fruit. Please follow me. You don't touch me.
You're describing Mr. Bobby Flay.
And then, finally, tonight, we got a special guest in the house. The host of the Changing Hearts and Minds podcast, we have Jeff with us.
If you're here from my show and listening, this is not the fucking same. You're going to really send bad fucking iTunes reviews about OBC too many in jokes.
You're about to be pleasantly surprised.
Jeff's podcast is all like intelligent and inspiring and touching, and we do none of that.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So Dan, what are we talking about tonight?
Basically, what it would be like if Rosie from the Jetsons was terrorizing people. Like, her program just goes apeshit. It's awesome.
Must destroy.
That is my favorite Blade Runner fanfic.
The Hal conundrum happens in Rosie.
Yeah.
Mr. Jetson, I was just trying to fulfill the mission.
Anyway,
what are we talking about tonight?
The Metal Man of Falkville, Alabama. How did we come across this?
Believe it or not, I found it in a Ranker article that was, you know, a sponsored post on Facebook, and they were trying to make it out to be way fucking creepier than it actually is.
It's really goofy.
Look at these four photographs you'll never believe were taken of an extraterrestrial visitor.
They're absolutely right.
He kind of looks like if you gave a 5-year-old a roll of Reynolds Wrap and said, make me Bender.
Those articles are usually the best, though, because they'll be like, you'll never believe what Honey Boo Boo looks like. And I'll click it, and I'll be like, oh, I never thought Honey Boo Boo would look like a pop-up ad.
Could you imagine a Honey Boo Boo pop-up ads? Like, you're just trying to scroll, and like, every 3 seconds, like, hey, y'all, I need my go-go juice, Dan.
Anyway, let's get back to this wholesome alien we're going to talk about, y'all. So, our story begins on the night of Wednesday, October 17th, 1973.
Wednesday. Wow. This very night.
Just like tonight.
Only with a different date.
In the town of Falkville, Alabama.
Just like this wait.
That homed less than 1,200 people.
Yeah, go to Falkville. You'll always get laid.
Okay.
The barrels are shallow and there's plenty of fish.
Because it sounds like fuck. Whatever.
Yeah, no, we got it.
I love you, Mike.
So,
Falkville.
Around 10 o'clock that night, 26-year-old police chief Jeff Greenhaw was relaxing.
I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
Police chief Jeff...
No. Before that.
26-year-old?
26-year-old police chief? What? Only in Falkville, Alabama.
Well, there's a very high mortality rate there.
26 years old. What, did he fucking fail the fucking exam to be the fucking janitor of the high school?
We don't really grade on a curve here.
We're sorry, man. We're just gonna have to make you chief.
So, like, yeah. He was chilling at home with his wife after a long day of whatever it is 26-year-old police chiefs do.
I just got done hanging some Negroes. Yikes. And now I'm going home with my 12-year-old daughter, who's now my wife.
Yikes.
They're out on the coast of Martha's Vineyard with a fucking crusty old sea captain and an arrogant marine biologist hunting down gigantic sharks. I don't know.
I hope you brought your rubbers, Chief.
Here lies the body of Mary Lee, Chief.
Died at the age of 103.
Not a bad record for this vicinity.
Anyway.
So, all right.
Jaws is a great movie.
Jaws rules.
Greenhaw interrupted his night, basically ruined, from a hysterical Falkville resident calling, having seen an unidentified flying object, an UFO, if you will.
Ah, as we've established, UFO. I don't know if you're familiar with this, Jeff.
We have established this. It is also pronounced GIF.
So this woman is hysterical, calling Chief Jeff, because I don't want to say Greenhaw 1,000 times, but...
Greenhaw!
Right? My accent will come out so hard. So, hysterical resident calling, claiming to have seen an UFO land in Bobby Summerford's fields just outside of town.
Is Bobby Summerford a reputable man? Because I'm having some doubts about this story.
He has a field.
Oh, well, all right. That's good enough for me.
He is a property owner.
Hang on, wait. Is he white?
Nah, he's Samoan.
It's fucking Alabama. Of course he is.
Oh, shit. Wow. Okay, that's...
Hey, I think you're getting Falkville, Alabama a little twisted. Very progressive for its time, guys.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
I don't know. I'm just saying that. I have no idea what they've done there.
They have 26-year-old police chiefs.
In 1973, they did have a 26-year-old police chief. Thinking about 26-year-olds, what the fuck? Anyway.
They hand out sheriff badges like National Defense Ribbons.
He just opens up a box of Cracker Jack and there's a sheriff badge. And he's like, hey, I'm the sheriff now. And they're like, well, fuck it. What are you going to do? Deprive the boy of his dreams?
So, even though his long day of police chiefing was over, curiosity and a string of sense of duty got the better of him. So rather than sending a patrol officer to respond, got up, grabbed his handcuffs, grabbed his pistol, and a Polaroid camera.
I might need to arrest this alien.
Drove on up to Summerford Farm.
Maybe I need to take some naked pictures of him. Let me grab his Polaroid.
So, upon arriving, Greenhaw found nothing strange or out of the ordinary. The area was quiet and not a single person was in sight, let alone any extraterrestrial visitors. Greenhaw felt like returning home to a cozy evening in bed, but decided to give the property just one last perimeter check by driving around in his truck.
This guy is so professional.
Truly, America's finest.
You gotta check one last time, guys. That's when everything happens. You just gotta check one last time. You keep checking until something happens. That's what security is.
Pretty much.
So, it was when Greenhaw turned down a small gravel road and came upon a sight he would never forget. Approximately 100 yards down his path, Greenhaw's headlights met a strange, human-like figure standing on the side of the road about 75 feet away. He immediately slammed on his brakes, exited the truck, thinking it might be someone in distress. Leaving his vehicle's high beams on, he called out, "Howdy, stranger!"
Get the fuck out of here, he did not. Yeah, did he really?
Sure. The fucking police chief.
He carefully approaches the figure. He came within about 15 feet of it. Suddenly, he noticed this being was covered in shiny metallic suit that resembled aluminum foil.
Ooh, gosh.
He then kept his composure and asked, "Are you a foreigner?"
What the?
Are you a Muslim?
So, the figure ignored his request. Didn't respond to him.
That's right. If anyone asks you for your papers, you fucking shut up and lawyer up.
It's true. Know your rights, everyone. Listen, if you are arrested, do not speak to the police. Don't talk to them until you have legal counsel, which you are entitled to under the Constitution of these United States.
100%.
Never forget how free you are because of those slave owners.
That's right.
Moving along.
Oh, boy. So, getting back to the fucking demon alien.
Oh, yes. Our police chief sees our 26-year-old, very young for his age, police chief, has encountered a figure wrapped in metal and has called out to it by going like, "Whoa, howdy." And that's where we are at this point.
This is basically Goofy if he was a police chief.
Oh, gosh, Max. It's an extraterrestrial visit.
I'm gonna need you to put your hands up where I can see them.
Well, look at all them body parts.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't mean to shoot him. I saw him pull out a gun.
I feared for my life. That's what the lawyer said I had to say.
I have a bad feeling they're gonna probe my anus.
And by bad feeling, I mean, come on with it.
Come on with it, Cletus.
Anyway.
Well, gosh.
So, Greenhaw later described this being looking like, quote, his head and neck were kind of made together. He was real bright, something like rubbing mercury on nickel.
Wait, senior Southern correspondent Dan Jones, what is with you fuckers down there? Just like, it was like rubbing mercury on a dime. It's like, you ever fucking done that before? How fucking bored were you? What kind of random ass task is that?
Is he an alchemist?
We don't get UPN around here. So
when I grew up, my daddy said, if you're not licking mercury and lead, then you're never going to amount to being a 26-year-old police chief. So I did my lead and mercury licking. I know what it looks like, and I'm telling you that that man was not made of aluminum foil.
Listen, now, y'all kids, you're all spoiled little millenniums out there. You know, you got your ColecoVisions and all that. But when I was a kid, my pappy worked 70 hours a week just to give me some mercury and a nickel to play with. And you know what? That was my toy for 15 years. Anyway, I gotta go drain the pus from my legs and my stomach and my arms and my feet. I have radiation poisoning is what I'm trying to get at. So anyway.
Thank God they're getting rid of Obamacare.
That's right. These colors don't run, but these pustules do.
Anyway, Oh my god.
It's just a bit.
Thank you very much for acknowledging that, Jesus.
Listen, disclaimer to our listeners, it's just a bit. There are plenty of things I love about the South. I just haven't discovered them yet, other than Tudor's Biscuit World.
Okay, the biscuits are fucking solid down here.
Wild horses could not drag me away from Tudor's Biscuit World.
Tudor's Biscuit World, it's just like coming home.
All this joking aside, man, it's nice and slow down here, but we're making these jokes because it's true.
Yeah.
There is something inherently different about there. It's just like, it's like a totally different country.
Except for Tudor's Biscuit World. Moving along.
After he gave his beautiful, well thought out description of this creature, he continued on saying it had an antenna sticking out the top of its head and that its movements were jerky and mechanical.
Hello, dum-dum.
He's just doing the robot dance.
Thinking quickly, Greenhall grabbed his Polaroid camera, snapped 4 photos of the strange metallic being. So, like, just think of that. Like, we all know how slow Polaroid cameras are.
And Southerners.
And yes, he took 4 photos of the strange metallic being. Perhaps frightened by the camera's flash, the metal man suddenly ran off into Summerford's field, supposedly clearing 3 meters in a single stride. Greenhaw said that he, quote, ran in a bizarre way, side to side, like a robot, and that it seemed to have springs in its feet for propulsion.
No springs!
As it was running faster than any human he'd ever seen. So just think of that.
Who the fuck said no springs?
Running through a cornfield, springs, clanging ass robots.
Where does Coily fit in with God's plan for us?
Nowhere.
This is the beginning of Coily's army of darkness, apparently.
Honestly, his description reminds me of Spring-Heeled Jack.
Yeah. Someone else knows about that.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's Spring-Heeled Jack and he got the Iron Man suit.
It's Spring-Heeled Jack cosplaying as Steel.
Hi, everybody. I'm the NBA's Shaquille O'Neal, and I am also from New Jersey. That's right, baby. I'm from Newark. Anyway, I play a giant metal man in this really awful DC Universe adaptation of Steel. I think the earth's flat. I'm Spring-Heeled Shaq.
Steel was kind of a big part of my, like, middle teenage years. Like, early double digits.
Steel was the first movie I ever watched where I had a feeling it was a bad movie.
That was Triple X State of the Union for me.
It was Attack of the Clones for me.
Hi. It's me, Academy Award winning actor, Christopher Walken. Hi, the guys from Podcast 1289 have given me a handful of fiddle faddle and asked me to give some shout outs to some of their fans. So without further ado, the gang would like to thank Kate H, Jane MH, NM, Jennifer C, Shannon K, Aaron J, Matthew W, Kathleen LH, Wes T, Joe K, Bridget B, Jamie F, and the This Was Rad podcast. Thank you all. It's crazy how good you've been to the show. If you would like to learn more about contributing to Podcast 1289, you can visit patreon.com/podcast1289. There are many rewards to be had, like buttons, stickers, and t-shirts, not to mention the opportunity to pick an episode topic. You can also check them out on Instagram and Twitter. Anyway, I should probably get that. If I'm not back in an hour, send a squad car to Robert Wagner's house.
Anyway, going back to it.
I could never make a free throw.
Greenhaw ran back to his truck, sped off in pursuit of the metallic creature, who seemed to be heading towards Lakin, a ghost town about 3 miles away.
While Yakety Sax played in the background.
Unfortunately, the rough terrain of the Summerford's Field prevented Greenhaw's truck from achieving speeds higher than about 35 miles per hour.
Ah, so it wasn't like a rock after all.
Further complicating matters, Greenhaw soon lost control of his truck, when he hit a bump and slid into a ditch, leaving the metal man to clang off for freedom.
Curse says, you win the day!
Clank, 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 fuck you, clank, clank.
And then the voiceover guy came on saying, after this break, we'll find out what the Duke boys are doing.
And what became of Captain Scarlet? Find out next week.
Now, Dan, I did some reading on this article, too. Didn't this, like, fucking wreck the sheriff's career?
Oh, yeah, his life was done.
Hey, thanks for telling me that they blow up the shark. Jesus.
Yeah, it's like, much like, y'all ever seen Jaws 2? Which is like a much superior sequel than most people get a credit for. But remember, like, he's trying to convince the whole, like, village council, like, no, this is a fucking shark. I've seen this thing up close. Check out the photos. And like, nah, that's mud and seaweed, dog, because we have property interests.
Was that the Jaws where his kid shark comes back for revenge?
No, that's Jaws 4.
The revenge.
That's the one where the shark tracks him all the way to fucking Jamaica.
The Bahamas.
The island.
Oh, yeah, where it keeps pace with the plane.
Yuck. So was this a separate shark, or did the original Jaws just rematerialize? And
this was a separate shark. He fried this shark with the underwater wire, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, the underwater power line. Which, like, when I saw them pulling the thing out, I was like, they couldn't do that.
They did do that. That shark caught fire, son. Twice. He caught fire. There was a shark on fire at two separate points in that fucking movie. It's like a Dr. Evil plan.
But yeah, no, Jaws 2, a very surprisingly good sequel.
Yes. When you look back on it, because it's like how fucking dark shit got after that thing ruined the town. And once again, like, there was some semblance of normalcy coming back in Jaws 2, and all of a sudden, he's trying to convince his employers, the village council and all that, like, hey, you know, no, we got a fucking problem here. There's this thing, and it's killing motherfuckers. And they're like, nah, dog, you see, we got property interests to protect, so you're fired, baby.
Yeah, and the mayor wouldn't even back him up, even though the mayor was the fucking one who was the asshole in the first movie.
In a deleted scene, he does. In the deleted scene, he is the only vote that is a no for firing Brody, but they cut it.
Did they take the plot of the book? Because I remember reading the book, and it sounded like the town was like a smashed bag of assholes.
Pardon?
Did they just apply that to the second? Oh, you never heard the smashed bag of assholes before?
Excuse me? Like that in what way?
I use that how to describe myself when I'm hungover.
Shit, man, she was as hot as a bad simile.
That was one of the many terms that I had thrown at me, like, oh, your uniform is fucked up. It looks like a smashed bag of assholes.
Yeah, see, you and I understand that because of our military background, but nobody else gets that.
I first heard smashed bag of assholes from a buddy of mine who roomed with a guy who was former Navy.
Thank you.
And
there you go.
And like the first time I ever heard him say it, we were hungover. This was in culinary school. He was hungover as fuck across the table from me. I'm just sitting there eating my breakfast, reading over homework, being a student. And he's just sitting there with a cup of coffee in his hand. He hasn't said a word since he sat down. And then I like finally like look up at him as I take a sip of my coffee. I'm like, you all right, bud? And then he just, like, says, without even breaking gaze of his coffee cup, it's like, I feel like a bag of smashed asshole.
I'm assuming you've been former military for a while now.
Yeah, you don't get recognized at Home Depot anymore.
I'm thinking how fossilized are these fucking, like, terms that, like, almost through generations of military, like...
Well, yeah, it's like shitbird.
Yeah, like, or shitbag.
You're as fucked up as a soup sandwich, you bone fucker.
Oh my god.
Bone fucker.
Bone fucker, that's great.
He's my favorite classic WWF era wrestler, the bone fucker.
Bone fucker was the tag team partner of fucking that other fucking military guy.
Sergeant Slaughter.
Fucking Sergeant Slaughter and the bone fucker.
The only pro wrestler to also be a G.I. Joe.
It was WrestleMania 7. Me, Sergeant Slaughter, smashed bag of assholes, and the bone fucker. We were there at the Cincinnati Ape Dome.
Built from actual ape bones.
It was named after Harambe, who wasn't born yet.
Hogan called it the Silver Dome again. We're not sure why.
I live in Mexico now because I'm afraid of the government.
Only smash bag of assholes they knew in the WWE was Shawn Michaels, wasn't it?
The money's in the bathroom on the sink.
Anyway, quoting past episodes of our own show aside.
Hey, I'm new. All I got.
In jokes, motherfucker. We got them.
Yeah.
After this incident, Greenhaw gave an interview to a newspaper reporter, and the story was eventually picked up by the AP, and then given a national audience. He appeared on television to share his story.
Unfortunately, it was on Wheel of Fortune, and nobody cared.
Much like Chief Brody, he was unappreciated for his sacrifice.
And Jesus.
So within months of the sighting, The Fockville Town Council terminated his employment as police chief, and soon after, his wife left him, his trailer home was suspiciously burned to the ground, and his truck exploded.
Wow, that takes effort.
Wow, is this guy's fucking life is like an Alan Jackson song.
Now he's the chief manager of fucking Arby's.
Is that like country metal? Like, instead of, you know, my truck broke down, it's my truck blew up.
My truck fucking exploded, yeah.
My woman took a grenade launcher to my dog.
They set fire to my dog and put a burning cross on my lawn.
Come on, my grandparents are problematic.
So, as for those four photos that he took of the Metal Man, they were subsequently examined by Walt Andres, director of the Mutual UFO Network, aka MUFON.
MUFON!
I really want a hat that has MUFON on it, but I don't want to join them.
That's my favorite Disney princess.
There has to be a Disney princess now that is a total conspiracy nut.
Oh, that'd be great.
Like, she's the princess that embolizes paranoia.
I imagine her sitting at home with her 1,000 cats, mostly dead, and just like, a bag of fucking turds that she uses because she won't use the toilet.
Oh my god, you saw that episode of Hoarders 2 where the lady was shitting in a bag?
What?
I piss in a bottle and I shit in a bag.
Cause I'm afraid the government's gonna take my guns.
You'll take my gun when you pull it from my cold dead fingers. Man who is literally seconds away from a fucking Diet Mountain Dew and cheese ball induced death.
I pulled out my teeth because I feel like there's a bug in them.
Resident Nixon, we're gonna have to get those teeth back in your mouth.
You don't understand, Henry. It's goddamn Jews.
Billy Graham told me all about it.
Don't you come near my teeth or I'll hit you with my jowls.
H.R. Haldeman sweeping him up off the floor with a fucking dustpan and a broom.
Quick, shoot him in the back while no one's looking. So,
what if we sell crack to the Negroes, Henry?
To go over the photos again, after giving them to MUFON, they concluded the event was most likely a fabrication.
Wait a minute. Did they said that MUFON concluded that they were most probably fabricated?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not contradicting what you're saying, but I went and I looked it up and I thought someone initially said it wasn't altered.
No, they said that it was like the whole scene was fabricated.
Oh,
not
yeah,
the photos.
Well, fucking obviously. It's a picture of a fucking guy wrapped up in fucking aluminum foil. Of course it's fabricated.
But yeah, no, there's at least one website out there that says, oh, MUFON cleared this guy. He's the real deal. Because people are fucking stupid. Like, seriously, Google the pictures of this guy. This isn't like us, like, looking at something that's kind of convincing, like the Phoenix lights.
Oh, yeah. It's so fucking bad.
Yeah, like, Google these photos. It is literally just a man wrapped in tin foil.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, there's so few of them because nobody gives a shit about this. You run an image search for, the Fallville Metal Man, and, like, yeah, you'll find the pictures we're talking about, but, like, after that, you're gonna find, like, fucking Mega Man villains.
Right, oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you go to YouTube, the one place that's got a million videos about the most obscure bullshit in the entire world, there's one fucking video with some robotic sounding voice who's probably the fucking person who did it, and it's like 2 minutes long.
He came down and he's just like, I must make my own YouTube video.
I am not covered on YouTube enough.
Check out my mixtape, bruh.
This is bullshit.
Like, you search for this thing, and the internet goes, dude, are you talking about Metal Sonic? Are you sure that's not what you... You're getting real confused and you actually meant the Sonic the Hedgehog that's a robot that achieved sentience and turned to evil? Because that's a lot more important than whatever this Metal Man nonsense is.
And more likely to be real.
Yeah, or we could give you Iron Man by Black Sabbath, or the popular comic book, or the popular movie franchise, or anything that isn't a guy wrapped in tinfoil in Alabama. Anyway, so this guy, his life fucking ruined. His trailer suspiciously burned down, suspected arson. His wife couldn't handle the press attention and all the bullshit for being married to a man who saw like a tinfoil dude from space. So she dipped, and then his car exploded.
This guy got a raw deal.
Yeah, no, he really got Llewellyn Davis here, man. But yeah, so the reason why MUFON said it was fabricated, because it was really similar to something that kind of exactly happened a week before Greenhaw's incident in Pascagoula, Mississippi.
The thing that, like,
fucks with me about that case, actually. I read up on that one.
Uh-huh.
They were taping them before the sheriff interviewed them, because they figured they would catch them, you know, like, getting their story straight and fucking around and getting caught in a lie.
Uh-huh.
What they actually got was them just being even more bug-fuck terrified than they were when they talked to the sheriff. Like, just being like, holy shit, like, just freaking out. They never recanted the stories till the day they died.
You know who else stuck to his story, though? OJ.
I was gonna say Hitler, but yeah, him too.
Sedan, in light of the MUFON analyzation and examination of the photos and their declaration that it was most likely a fabricated incident, what sort of theories and explanations floated around out there about this metal man?
Well, you know, everyone was just wondering, like, if this was fabricated, then, you know, who did it? Greenhalgh, for one, never sought or received any financial compensation for his story.
I'm imagining, he's like, can I get paid for this? No.
You can have your life ruined now.
Could it have been a fabrication that Greenhalgh himself wasn't even in on?
Maybe this was all to draw attention from some more convoluted scheme.
I mean, there's very likely that, I mean, this was a hoax that was all sprung on this guy. I think this guy was fucked.
I'm calling it right now. This is proto MK Ultra, is what this is.
This is before they decided to put, like, LSD in the water supply. Like, what if we just send metal tinfoil dudes?
The only flaw in our plan, gentlemen, is that Greenhalgh lives. We have to remove him from the public consciousness before we can safely enact the human instrumentality project.
I knew that's where you were going with it.
So would you call this flimflammery of the highest flimflammery order?
I wouldn't say highest.
No, this is pretty low on flimflammery. This is pretty low tech flimflam.
Yeah, this is a dude in a tinfoil suit. Yeah.
This is like Ed Wood would have gone, nah, we could spend a bit more money on this.
This sounds like a guy who got lost at Comic-Con.
I think the thing that, like, really kind of, like, struck me about just the image of it, like, not the picture so much, but, like, more the artist's renderings of what he saw, it looks like a proto-version of Klaatu from The Day the Earth Stood Still.
That's what I was gonna say before as a joke. I was like, I think it was just an extra from that movie that got fucking lost. Does anyone know where the crafter's table is?
I'm so hungry. This suit is so heavy.
So, Dan, you mentioned that, you know, what if this was something he himself was not even in on? Like, what would have that entailed?
So there were a couple people that threw out the theory that it was a group of local teenagers calling in the UFO sighting as a prank and then dressing the high school star athlete in either tinfoil or an asbestos firefighting suit so that he can intercept Greenhalgh and respond at the scene.
Yeah, but there's only like one problem with that. What if that backfires and the cop panics and shoots the kids?
I mean,
wait, you know what? He's dressed in tinfoil, not a hoodie. Never mind.
Tasteful.
So yeah, they said that it was the high school star athlete dressed in that asbestos fire suit running off. But yeah, all this sounds like good and fun, and it's safe to say that an experienced law enforcement professional, and more importantly, a human being with functioning central nervous system, would recognize tinfoil as being tinfoil. Or firefighter suit.
This guy's still alive.
Yep, and he's a farmer.
The last update I saw on it was from a couple of years ago, and they were saying he still sticks by his story.
Yeah, he has never recanted or changed his story, and after the events of October 73, he has since remarried, studied computer technology, and became a PLC programmer and master electrician.
Right, good for him.
Yeah, right?
He's trying to build his own metal man. Like, I'll show those fuckers.
So yeah, he sought out a quiet life, and lived on his farm near Melton, Alabama, where he now enjoys the company of his family and cattle and the dogs. However, no strange fucking metal jumping potato man.
That's all we can hope for.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I feel like he could probably beat him this time. I mean, metal man's weak to his own weapon, so.
Yeah.
Just get a magnet. Just fuck with him.
No, I'm making a Mega Man joke. I'm making a Mega Man 2 deep cut.
My magnet point still stands. If you're accosted by a man made of metal, just get a big magnet.
But this guy was made of aluminum, and it's not friggin' magnetic.
Ah, fuck!
Shit, they beat us.
Again.
Damn.
The alien